Causing a commotion already on a Sunday.
Holy Sunday. Are we acknowledging it's Easter today?
Of course. Yes.
I don't think you did that right. I'm not Catholic either, but I think...
No, it's... But
is that?
Yeah. Father, son, Holy...
I'm not Catholic.
Yeah, two non-Catholics talking about Madonna on Easter Sunday.
You are listening to MLVC, the Madonna podcast, your place for all things Madonna Louise Veronica Ciccone. I am your unofficial celebration tour correspondent, Stefan. And today on the show, we are joined by Greg, who attended both nights of Madonna's celebration tour in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Hey, Stefan. I was clapping for the intro, not for me, but for the intro, because my daughter's upstairs and I said, hey, kind of be quiet. I'm gonna be on the Madonna podcast. She went... The Madonna podcast, like my kids hear it in the car, so they imitate you. And so I'm glad you did the official intro. I think she said she might be watching right now.
So oh, good, good.
They're watching.
Well, first off, let me say thank you for repping the podcast merch. You were the lucky recipient who won, I think, our first and only MLVC podcast competition where we... Tony and I had made up some MLVC podcast t-shirts and we made an extra one and did a giveaway and you were the winner. So, that's when we met, right? We met, I actually delivered it to you in person. You were happened to be in New York like the following week. And I was like, oh, I'll drop it off at your hotel.
Yeah, it was Madam X tour. And so we come in town and I said, oh, well, I'll actually be there next week. And he said, great. And he dropped it off. And then, which was so incredibly kind. And then we ran into each other before the show. And so we
got That's right.
Yeah. And see, so we do have a picture together, which I'm very glad to have. And,
oh, can you send that to me? I don't know if I have that. I have to.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I saved it. Yeah, okay. I will find it. And I just want to say, Stefan, thank you so much for just the whole podcast and bringing all the Madonna fans together. You know, I live outside of New Orleans, but kind of have in a smaller world. Like, I mean, I just don't have a lot of Madonna friends and, you know, people that really want to talk to me about this. And so I've loved having you guys as a resource. And I'm sure there are a ton of people like me that are grateful for everything that you guys do. And so I love it. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for being a listener. I think you've been one of our first listeners from like the very beginning.
Yeah, I found it during COVID and I just loved it. And I, you know, loved hearing it. And you guys had, I'm going to say his name wrong, Guillermo, the actor.
Guillermo Diaz. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I was like, wow, how did they get him? and I loved hearing his story. And so I really love some of those older episodes where you guys talk to people about their whole Madonna journey and stuff. They're very interesting. So
yeah,
I love the show.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
I don't go back and listen to the first season just because I'm kind of embarrassed of our terrible audio quality. But it's funny to sort of reminisce every now and again. So
yeah, I've heard you reference that, and nobody cares or can tell. We can't do that kind of stuff.
Okay, so was this your first time seeing the Celebration Tour?
Yes, it was my first Celebration Tour. It was my fourth Madonna show. I've seen Sticky and Sweet, which actually coincidentally was in Houston, which is where I was this time. And I saw MDNA in New Orleans, my hometown. And then I saw Madame X in Brooklyn. And gotcha. Then Celebration Tour here, which is kind of interesting to me because it kind of referencing outlets and having accessibility. Like, I just really have never had that much access to go to any of her shows. So when I hear people talk about, you know, the Reinvention Tour, even Confessions, I was like, college, but you know, I couldn't really make it to those kind of things or get to it. So I'm glad as an adult she's still touring and I can really kind of do it. And that's why I've done it up. I'm going to three shows and that's a lot for me. Yeah. But you know, it is the time to do it.
So it was two nights in Houston. What's your third show?
I'm going to Atlanta tomorrow.
Oh wow. Oh, okay. So it's like all in a so you've had to wait all this time for Lady Madonna.
Yeah, we're at the end of the tour. It started to get stressful of just not just getting to not see it, but just the anticipation and the waiting and the waiting. And so, but it was obviously so worth it. And
did you watch spoilers?
I did. You know, I like to go in with a game plan and like almost not be disappointed, like to go in and be like, well, what do you mean she doesn't do Poppin' Old Preach? So I didn't want to show up and have that. And I couldn't have waited that long. And I kind of like
yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, to think about, I mean, the show started in October. God bless if people like who are just seeing it, like yourself, who are just seeing it now for the first time. I would never have been able to wait that long. I mean, yeah. I couldn't wait. And I saw the show only a month after she started. And I was like the first day, like I had to know, you know.
You had to, yeah. And even most of it just to see if like some of the rumors you accidentally hear are true. Like, exactly. Is she really flying around? Is she in a box? Or like, right. Does it really open with when we were very young? Like, you just have to know. So I couldn't have done it. I'm a little bit of a researcher too. So I like to like look at set list and, you know, and follow hashtags and stuff. So yeah, I think that was part of the fun of her going on tours to keep up and to follow it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sort of why I started doing these, you know, these tour reviews was because I felt like, well, if they're not going to have like an official correspondent who's, you know, like speaking to fans who are seeing this, I just thought, I'm like, well, that's the whole point of the, like a show like this existing, is to be able to have this, the platform to be able to be like, hey, what'd you think of the show? What did you think of the show? You know, like everyone has different thoughts and opinions and feelings, and it's fun to sort of, you know, see the representation of fans from all over the world. And yeah, I mean, look, there's some people who've been, I mean, I think you met some people who have been seeing the show multiple times, and, you know, and then there's people like yourself who are just seeing it for the very first time. So
we, honestly, Stefan, when you started doing it and you did the first couple, I was like, is he really going to do this? Like every show? And I was like, there's no way. And I've watched every single one of them. By the way, I started watching on YouTube after you said, you know, you prefer viewers on YouTube. So I'm on at the gym, I prop it up on the treadmill and I watch. And so I look forward to like, you know, 2 or 3 days a week getting to see a new episode. And every one of them is a different opinion. It's interesting. You hear a different story, and I've loved them. And yeah, your show's been a great outlet for Madonna fans, because you know, you'll see someone on there and they'll have a great story, and so then you'll follow them on Instagram and then you like their posts. And so when by the time I got to the show and you're seeing like, oh, that's that guy Neil, or that's Dave in the Bay, that's, you know, seeing all the people on Instagram, and that other than Madonna was my favorite part of the experience, is that it was just meeting other fans and getting to talk to them and hear their stories and talk to them about what are they going to do for tonight, or what's your plan, and where's your seats. And, you know, they all have these strategies. It's like a fascinating world to go into.
Totally.
It's like its own Comic-Con kind of thing.
And I think that was sort of what, I mean, now look, I haven't been able to do every single tour show because of life and work, and I've tried to do as many as I can, and I think I've missed a couple cities, but it not because I intentionally, I just have, you know, like I have a full-time job. But what I think is fascinating is to be able to know, like sometimes before we had, you know, the internet, and it's like you would walk into a Madonna show not knowing like where is she going to be, where's the best vantage point, you know, like some people don't care, you know, like they're fine to be in the room and sit and see the show from wherever. But it's like there's some fans who are like, I want to be at this place, or I want to be, where does she sing this song, and that. And I think that's the type of stuff that like is helpful for me to know. So I'm like, well, let's help other people, you know, let's help other people know where that, about that information. And thankfully there's obviously a legion of Madonna fan sites that are out there, you know, drawing maps and
that was kind of cool. I know which one you're talking about. That was neat.
Okay, so where were your seats for first show and second show?
I was in the Sound Factory pit for both shows. The first night I did the VIP party, the little thing, and I got the ring, and that was cool. But seeing the neon signs and it was okay. I probably wouldn't recommend it. Did you do it?
I did VIP in the little VIP room. I did that the one night. I forget which night it was. In DC I did it. And yeah, it was cute. I mean, I wouldn't want to, I probably, if I was to go again, I wouldn't pay for a VIP experience again.
Yeah, one is plenty. And the next night I didn't feel like I missed that. And it was really honestly just as much fun out on the floor and getting to
talk to people.
So other than the neon signs and the little rosary ring
photo booth that they've got. Yeah. I mean, if you want, like, I think if people want like a private experience away from the chaos of the venue, then that's fine. But, you know, I mean, it's not like it's a sit down 5-course meal that you get there, right. You know, I mean, and it's easy to get a drink, but then, I mean, I went out to the pit the moment we were allowed to go out.
Yeah, they come in and they call you and they say, if you want to, because you do get into the venue an hour and a half early, and they do crowd-free merch shopping, but that wasn't that great. I definitely left the party way early, too, and mm-hmm. had just as much fun and saw the same people that were up there, down there. So, but the second night, I actually had a seat out in the crowd, and I'm also like kind of like follow tickets to try to see, you know, you know, if there's better ones or options. And I had a seat out in the in front of the burning up pit, but I went to the box office and asked if I could upgrade it to the pit because they dropped to the same price and they let me go in and they moved it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so because one of the things I was looking at with tickets was that, you know, there seems to be a lot of empty seats that they open up the week before, which are very more affordable than what you originally pay. But even the day of, there are so many, but they move people down. And I mean, then it gets packed.
I ended up telling you that people keep asking, they're like, what should I do about seats? And I'm like, if you're in the city and you want to get seats to the show, wait until like, so I'm trying to think, I think some of the tickets they're opening up like a day or two before, like it's not very far in advance.
Right. And then they still drop them. I mean, they have seats on the floor for $250.
I had a friend from New York who now lives in Dallas, and he went to one of the Dallas shows, and he got his seat hours before the show for like $150. And he was right near the Bedtime Story catwalk. And I'm like, that's a really amazing price to pay for that location.
Yeah. So if you're going to a show, you have opportunities. Like even if you already have a ticket and you've paid and you're up high, I would go to the box office. I'd walk around. I'd talk people. There's opportunities to upgrade, and they move people around. And so that happened to me. They didn't even charge me an exchange fee. I just went to the box office and said, look, it's the same price. It said that there was openings, and she said, okay, yeah. And
nice.
So yeah,
hey, that was when it comes down to it, they want people close to, you know, like people that want to be close. They want those people there. They want them to be having a good time and like sending her that energy. So
I'll also say though, like the concert experience can be totally different. Cause the first night, I also, like you had said, would want to look at different vantages. So I would walk out of the pit and go stand, and they were fun and they were easy and they let you kind of go wherever you want. And then the second night they were like, clear the aisles, get in a seat. And it was so interesting. And
Trouble. Were they letting you walk around the first night?
Maybe I ruined it the first night for everybody else.
Oh, that's so funny. Sure. I bet you the second night, maybe Madonna's team was just like, don't let them walk around. And then they were like,
him, that one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so funny. Where were you walking? Were you trying to follow her down the catwalk?
No, I wasn't that obnoxious. But like, I would know, like I wanted to see Die Another Day from far away and see the lights. And I really wanted to see Ray Light from, so I just left and just kind of went up into the stands and just found an empty seat and sat there.
Oh, nice. I can understand wanting to do that because those numbers are great from far away.
Yeah. I have to be truthful. I would go towards the end of the catwalk, but it wasn't just me. Like other people would kind of like crowding. It wasn't bad, but I did do that. Like when Dernick's, I say express yourself, but I guess it's really don't tell me. You know, sure. We knew she was going to be up on the stage. Everybody kind of gathered around, and it was fine and peaceful the other night. And nobody, I didn't think people felt aggravated, but not the second night, which was fine. Cause I got a different, I stayed in my spot where I was supposed to and just watched from the other view.
Yeah. You got some fantastic photos. You've been posting a lot. I was going to say, every time I log on the Instagram, I'm like, oh, Greg's posted again.
I have several friends that are internet bullies to me. I am an overposter, and I just, it's my scrapbook. And so
of course. Yeah. That's what I always
have. I have one friend that's like, in order to maintain our friendship, I unfollowed you on Instagram. I said, you know what? I respect that. No, it's funny. And so I messaged a couple of other friends. I was like, look, you might want to like just mute for a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going on an adventure. I'm going on a very deep and personal journey.
A cathartic journey. It's a train that you have to get on.
It is. It really has felt like going to the show. You know, that's what I would say overall about the whole entire show is it was more meaningful to me, probably just even just personally than I really was anticipating. You know, mm-hmm. I was going to listen to music and take some pictures of Madonna, but like I really started reflecting a little bit more about it. And she's done a lot, like just for me, but for the world. And I'm so glad that they're celebrating 40 years of her. And I don't think she gets her flowers enough. Like, I mean, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah. You know, and she's literally changed the whole entire world. Her speech, she started getting a little less sentimental and she started speaking more directly. I've noticed the past couple of times. And she says, "Are you following my journey?" She's like, "I was in the 80s and I was having fun and all my friends started to die. So yeah. In the 90s, I rebelled against it. And then in the 2000s, I became a mother and I changed my point of view. And now, you know," which is everything but say the last little section, which kind of a lot of people have alluded to the being the future. Mm. And I think people our age, it's just you can plot line your life through her music and through the way she's changed society for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and I really went in there thinking that in the 80s, when I was a kid and she was making music and she was kind of a bad girl, but she would lean towards a lot of gay things. I would think, you know, look, that's my life is going to be a gay guy that I'm going to have to worry about AIDS my whole entire life. And that's just all I thought it would be. And then, you know, in the future, it's like I'm married and I have kids and that is because of her. And it's not because of her music. It's because she spoke out against it and she was an ally and was visible. And so I really tapped into that freedom fighter, rebel heart kind of spirit with her. And I had a lot of gratitude for that, for Live to Tell and just the different moments. And
what was the crowd like in Houston? It seemed like they were pretty up and vibrant.
Yeah, the first night I left thinking it was so much fun. But the second night, even though I said security was a little mean, like it was just a little more electric. And Madonna was a lot of fun the second night. She was really silly during Burning Up. And she had said, she made a noise and then she said, "That sounds like a dog. Don't you have dogs in Houston? Isn't Texas a dog?" And of course I was laughing because you and I have gone back and forth a couple times about Texas names. And I was like, oh, great. Now Texas is where they play golf and where dogs bark. And she was making the whole crowd bark like dogs. It was funny.
Oh, funny.
It was weird. Yeah. So, but the crowd was a lot of fun. Everybody was up on their feet and dancing and moving. And you didn't get that whole, I'm going to go get a hot dog during Bad Girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so wait, I'm burying the lead. Let's talk about the fantastic collector's items that you got at the show. So not only you didn't just get one of the collector's items, you got like three of the collector's items that like, right? So I think it's like,
maybe, but go ahead.
Okay. So,
tell us. I brought a old-fashioned sign, and I had one for Bob. I don't know if I told you that, but I had one for Bob. And so even though I was in the sound factory pit, I kind of walked to the end of the stage when he was throwing Rosie, and I just waved it, and he looked at me and smiled. I think he was glad to see it. And he,
what did the sign say?
Purposefully, it just said Bob. I took his logo off of his website, and I did put a little rosary next to it. I have a picture. I can send it to your show, or you'll see it on my Instagram. But it was definitely like a connection. Like he made eye contact to me and he kind of like leaned like and he really gave it to me. And I thought that was cool. And
so
I was
Bob,
shocked.
So Bob gave you one of the rosaries. Very, is it silver? It's silver, yes?
Yeah, the silver one. The little diamond silver one. Celebration tour.
I can't believe that you got that for free. And meanwhile, there's people like myself who had to pay for those.
Yeah, I'm very grateful I had that. It was cool. He kind of tossed it. And then later...
Did people try and grab it out of your hands?
I don't know if it was, you know, you kind of have tunnel vision and it's like, so I felt like it was just supernatural and easy. But also, I'm from New Orleans where we have Mardi Gras and we are experienced at grabbing and catching and snatching beads. So maybe...
Wait, before the rosary, you also got something else.
Yes, so I had a sign for Bob and I flipped it around and on the other side, I said, I had David, And I said, guitar pick with question mark. And so I was in the Sound Factory pit, and he comes to the edge of the stage and was playing. He's actually was playing with his thumb. And I thought, oh, he doesn't even have a guitar pick. And he looked at the sign, and the same thing as Bob. Like, I think he was genuinely surprised or thought it was nice. And he looked at me and smiled, and he stopped playing. And, you know, musicians have a little case on top, and he pulled one out and he handed it to me. And the same thing, I reached and someone else was doing like that. And he made sure to curve and like put it in my hand.
Oh, so, nice. So
and I like that. I mean,
a celebration. I like the guitar pick. It's branded Celebration Tour.
Yeah, it's hers. Yeah. And it has her signature on the back, which was great. Cause sometimes you will do that at a show. It'll be the actual guitar player's guitar pick. And then some, you're like, I really want to Frank somebody. Hey, look, and Stefan, I guess I could say too, speaking of guitar players, I saw Monty Pittman there earlier in the afternoon, and then he and then she gave him a shout out later in the day at the actual show. So that was pretty cool.
Did you see him at the show, or you just saw just
I never him? Saw him when she brought his name up. I said, oh, okay, so he is here. And so, and I was looking, and she didn't really give much of a direction for him. And while we're name dropping too, one of the things that was so good was that Detox is there. And if you guys,
oh, that's right.
Detox is just, she's so nice and talented and a true Madonna fan, and was so sweet. Like I said hi to her and what's your name, baby? And can you take a picture, of course. And I texted it to my husband. He was like, that picture is really blurry. And I saw her again. I said, oh my God. And she said, I don't worry, baby, I got you. And she like walked, you know, 10 or 15 feet to a good light. She knew what to do. And she like got me a really cute picture with her. And
she's a pro. Yeah. I saw that. She's a pro.
Yeah. And the thing was, is that first I was kind of like, oh, she likes me. And then I saw her, she was doing it to everybody. That walked to. It's probably not even fun for her to go because of everyone doing that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's part of the gig, right? You know, if you're going to be a celebrity, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there in entertainment, that's part of the gig.
Yeah. So I think the other thing was that I did have a sign for Madonna, and I held it up during the Burning Up song. And she really never really looked at it very much. And she didn't really acknowledge. I don't remember. She just told her story. She didn't engage with the crowd that much during the first night during that. The second night I held it up. And I think I held it up through the whole song, and she was more playful and silly. And I think my sign was serious, and I don't think she really wanted to go there, which is fine. And that's when the security guard tapped me, and he said, you got to leave that sign down. I said, all right. And I never put it up the rest of the night. But then yesterday afternoon, when she did her Thanks Houston post, they had taken a picture of me with the sign. And
yeah, so you obviously your sign must have impressed Ricardo because he took a picture of it. So
yeah, and I've seen him, but I didn't really think to watch for him or to look for him. So maybe I'll think about that tomorrow when
you'll see him. He's walking all around in the security pits between the stage and the crowd. You'll see him. I mean, you know, if you've seen him online, you've seen Ricardo. You'll recognize him exactly.
Yeah, you have to like register it in your head. Like, oh, I just didn't think to put him on my list of people to watch for.
Well, you should watch for Tony, her dresser, because he moves around sometimes. Depends on what side of the stage you're on, though. I found he's more on the red bed side of the stage where she does Human Nature. Like, he's more in that area.
Okay.
Okay, so if anyone out there has a photo of Greg holding the sign for Madonna, because Greg, although Greg has a picture of himself holding the sign, unfortunately, there was another man standing in front of Greg, and that man's face is blocking Greg. So
you can see my arm.
You can sort of see your face, but yeah, if there's anyone out there who has a picture of Greg holding the sign, please send it over and we'll forward it on to Greg. So that way he has a keepsake from the show.
I would love that. But I actually would like to ask you this. I mean, do you think that she's involved in that? I was wondering if they just said, pick the best pictures and put them out, or if she,
yeah, you know what? Good question. I wonder how she curates her Instagram. Like, I wonder how involved she is in posting that stuff. I would like to believe that because it is her Instagram that she approves what is put up. Now, maybe Ricardo shows her like 20 pictures and is like, here's 20 pictures. What ones do you want? And then she's like this, 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 and this. And then she put, you know, so she's responsible for that. But Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that she wouldn't be, you know, she picks and curates and selects everything else in her career. You know, it's like, if that's her Instagram, that's representing her, she's going to be in charge of it.
Yeah. That's cool. That would be awesome for me to think that she
saw your sign. Sure. I think so.
2 seconds and read that. And I hope that it resonated with her. I'm trying to decide if it's corny for me to bring it back again tomorrow. Like, all right, we already saw you once. Like, that's enough.
Stop. I think you've got that. I think I would say you had your moment with the sign. I wouldn't advise bringing it again. Unless it was a different sign. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think the same sign, you won't get impact. But what did you think of the show?
I enjoyed the show a lot more than I expected. First, I have to say, I'm not always totally into this, but she was so beautiful. And so I don't really like to go in and kind of judge on looks and stuff, but I was just shocked at how pretty she is.
So I had a question on that. All of your photos, did you retouch your photos in any way, shape, or form?
There's one or two on there that I did because the light was just blown out, but most of them, not really.
Okay. So like, I mean, I'm when I say retouched, like you, a filter here or there, but like,
oh yeah. And drop low lights and
manipulate Photoshop, try to make her look more attractive.
I'm a regular person. I don't know how to do that.
Okay. No. And the reason I ask you that is because looking at your photos, and I will post one or two on the podcast Instagram, I was amazed at how beautiful your photos of her looked. And I was like, I feel like she looked good when I saw her, but I'm like, I feel like she looks even better in your photos. And I'm like, what is she doing? Like, she looks, maybe it's just like that tour high, you know, like she's been performing for months and now she's just like in a zone with it, that she's like, maybe it's the euphoria of knowing she's only got like 2 weeks, you know, like not 2 weeks, right? She's got a whole nother month still, but there's not many shows left. That's the thing.
Yeah, the end run
of like, there's like a couple of shows over the next month, but that's about it. Like, maybe she's just really happy that she can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
And time for us to start speculating what's next, what's the next era.
Like, I know, I'm trying not to, because I'm obviously after Rio, we'll see how fast the Celebration Tour era sort of comes to a close. Like, I wonder if they will have a tour film for us to, you know, like Beyonce and Taylor Swift had a tour film ready to see in a theater, like within a couple of weeks after their show ended. So, Taylor's wasn't even over yet. Like,
right. She had a whole other leg.
Yeah. So hopefully, I'm hopeful that maybe Jonas Åkerlund, you know, being at some of the LA shows, that they will have something ready for us to see.
Do you think that she's feeling good and loves the tour, and that this will be like a share scenario where it's the Celebration Tour and that's what she does for the next 4 or 5 years? And every, you know, 6 months she goes out for 3 or 4 months.
As much as I would love to think that she would do that, that would be very against her.
Yeah.
Her regular MO. You know what I mean? Like,
always moving forward.
Only thing she's ever done, obviously, was Sticky and Sweet. She's tacked on a second leg, you know, but other than that, she's never done like a tour multiple years. Oh, you know, I can't imagine she would do that. I think she'd want to do something different. I personally think, as much as she loves doing the old stuff, she's going to want to do something new, like new songs, new material. Like if she's going to tour again, she's going to put out new music. There's no way there's no way she's going to do another greatest hits tour after this. It's, you know, like, so for everyone who wanted the greatest hits, you got it.
Right.
Now we're going to get what Madonna wants the next time around, you know? So it's like, but we speculate, which is part of the fun, but I have a feeling she's not going on tour again. Like, I think it's the biopic. I think I would love if she closed this era out released another album. And then next year was like, I'm back on tour with a brand new show. And I'd be like, here's the money, Madonna. Here you go. I know. So just,
you would say that's what you want the most. Would you rather that than a biopic or a movie or a TV series or any, you love music and touring.
Look, biopic, Netflix series like The Crown. Fine. Do it. I just don't want her directing it. You know, like, if she wrote her biopic, fine. Let someone else direct it because she's not even going to be in it. And then let her just do the music. You know, like I just want her to be, unless she's in the movie, I'm not really overly excited about the movie. You know, like, do Who's That Girl Too? You know, you know, like, oh, I mean, I'd love to see her do another documentary. You know, I would love to have, you know, a sequel to Truth or Dare and I'm Going to Tell You a Secret, you know, like a three-peat, you know, because I think this is the time to do it. What a story. How amazing to have to, like, because if they were filming a documentary leading up to the opening of the show, her accident.
Oh, yeah, what a, yes.
It would have to be part of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, gosh, yeah. Oh, you gave me goosebumps. That, you're right. That's like the, yeah.
And it would be such a moment to then be able to, like, have her, you know, like a moment in the tour of, oh my God, she's almost died and now she's out on stage. And it would just be such a great moment.
Yeah. I would like to, I agree. I'd rather see a documentary. I would really like to hear her thoughts on her life and her career and her legacy. And I know that she doesn't really like to reflect a lot about that, but I just feel like at this point in her career that she needs to think of her legacy and document that. Like, I want to know, what did she really think about, you know, I love the I'm Not Ashamed from Playboy. And I was thinking about that. I mean, that could have been a career ender. And 30 years later, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, it happened. But, like, I mean, in that moment, like, what was that really like? So I would like to know some deeper truths and or see her document that a little bit more. And particularly, you know, about being a woman and about aging and looks and I would like, she hasn't given a lot of access. She shows us a lot of stuff on Instagram, but she hasn't done a lot of interviews. And
no,
I mean, I would like to see her.
Well, I mean, look, that's why I think a documentary would be helpful, because it's like, mm-hmm. you sort of get access to her in a way that we're not normally seeing on, like, a late night show with Jimmy Fallon or,
right.
you know, like even an Oprah, a special, you know, like I would love that, like, yeah. to, like, promo for if there was a documentary coming out, like, so then she sits down, like, the Oprah interview, and then, you know, or whoever she wants to be interviewed by, you know, like, I mean, but I just, yeah, I think that's, we haven't had a lot of her telling personal stories or anecdotes or in a way, you know, like, I mean, she told stories obviously during Madam X. She's telling stories, and I love that she's being so open and honest about some of her, like, childhood experiences and during Celebration, you know, like some of the nights she's opening up and telling some really great stories and stuff. And I love that. I wish there was more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that the world needs that preserved from her. Like, I mean, and people never talk about her writing a book, and it's like, I mean, that's gotta happen. Right. I mean, I know she doesn't seem to want to, but how can you not?
I know. I mean, did you ever see that Janet Jackson documentary that they put on Lifetime?
I didn't,
but it came out, I think it was over, I think it was during COVID it came out, and or slightly after COVID. I'm blanking on the time is a blur to me sometimes. But when I was watching that documentary, other than the obscene amount of commercials that we had to endure sitting through that on Lifetime, I was like, seriously, there's 3 minutes of documentary followed by 6 minutes of commercials. And I was like, what is happening? But Janet Jackson's documentary was her sitting down talking about her life and then intercutting with, like, footage that she, like, personal footage that we had never seen, you know, anywhere. And I was like, oh my God, can we get one of these for Madonna? Like, it would be her telling her story. Like, to me, that I would find that far more fascinating than a biopic with Julia Garner starring as Madonna. Like, as much as I love Julia Garner,
And to see her go on to roll across the MTV stage and be like, remember when she did this? Yeah, I agree with that. I would rather more introspection and have that come from Madonna.
From her, right. With like, yeah. Because you know she's got to have, I mean, she has cameras following her all the time. She always has camera crews filming this, filming that. So you know there's got to be like tons of unseen footage that like she's just gotten kicking around. You know, like Ricardo must film constantly for her. And barring even just like the footage that we never saw from Truth or Dare, you know, the hours of footage that we've never seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like she used to give more access. Like, I think back to in my hotel, I had a funny moment because I actually had a real coffee cup in there. And I had rosary beads from Bob. And I was like, oh, I want a white robe so I can do breakfast with Bob. Remember all those MTV she used to do? And those were always so interesting.
That was what was that? Breakfast with Madonna with Kurt Loder.
Yeah, Kurt Loder special. And had it on the VHS tape and it was all right. And then I had it on the same tape that also had HBO's Blonde Ambition tour. And it was sacred because if anything happened to that tape, you had no access to it ever. Because
Yeah. Exactly. Before the internet. I know there's so many things that I would love and want and this. And it's just so, I mean, some people are just like, can we just get all of the tour films on available, you know, like Blonde Ambition, Girly Show, Drown World Tour, Reinvention, like just all, can we please just get all of those shows on streaming, you know, like available to watch? Can we get all of those live albums available? You know, like we don't have, I mean, there is bootleg audio floating around for all of those shows, of course, but it's like, can we get a really well-mixed version of all of that tour audio, you know? But I think first and foremost, obviously, we'll see what happens when we wrap up Celebration. I mean, I'm just hopeful that we will get, obviously, a proper tour film that is not overly edited and overly washed out. You know, like, she looks amazing. I just want to see her, you know? Yeah. I don't want to see filters and I just want to... because I feel like it would wreck the show. Like, she looks so good and so beautiful and so like authentic and real that that's what I want to see for the tour film.
Yeah. I would like to see a new director's cut of the Rebel Heart tour because that one is just the one that's so unwatchable. You know, they have some really, if we don't like the Celebration tour that she eventually puts out, I was so shocked that right now on YouTube, I mean, there's one that's in from London that is, I mean, fully edited. I didn't understand how they even did it. Like, I mean, it was some kind of piracy. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was all different shots. So you there is access to that kind of stuff. I don't know how great I feel about watching that, but.
I mean, the only thing with that is I feel like it's okay. You know, like I'm okay watching it, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, I would love to have an actual live album of this because like we've said many times on the show, the production of those songs are so good. They sound so good. Like the mixes that she's using for Nothing Really Matters and Everybody and Holiday, you know, like Justify My Love. Like some of the mixes are so good and I can't wait. I'm like, when she drops a live album for that, I'm just going to be like, you know?
Yeah. I was, surprised with her voice too of just watching how, you know, when she would actually maybe miss something or for Burning Up, she goes to the front of the stage and she rocks out. And then when she's making her way back to the microphone, she misses a couple of lines, but it's not total lip sync. Like you can maybe hear like a soft of it. And so it's like, man, she's really like singing all the way.
Mm-hmm. You got Take a Bow both nights, right? She's still,
I was hoping to get Rain once, but I think that she's got that locked in again. Yeah. It was okay. I mean, I've never seen that either. So that was fine, but I'm sure.
What were your three favorite numbers from the show?
I was not expecting to like, Ray of Light as much as I did. because I was I originally just thought she was just like riding around in a box, you know, but it was like she's like jamming out, dancing and moving on that, and it's, she's fun and she's flipping the audience off and she's even doing like some silly dances, and I don't normally like that Madonna, but it was cute. It was cute. And then, you know, the dancers on the stage were really cool, and just the light show was incredible, and it was like she's just having so much fun. And I think that Like a Prayer has gotten pretty underrated. You know, it's one of the songs that she does every single time. And I do love the song, and I'm glad that she does it. But I think the use of the staging and the choreography and the drama of all those guys and sway, and it's just something so creative. Yeah. And I love that. And I liked a lot of the other songs, but the interlude of the red bed, I just am so fascinated that she did that. Whoever said, oh, you know what we need to do? Like, mm-hmm. I hope that they all just squealed and got excited. And it's just so creative and cool, especially with the theme of the show being, you know, her former self and her newer self. And when they get to meet and have them meet that way and bring back all of those images. And I just loved it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And did she sort of talk about the same stuff both nights? There wasn't like much.
She did. She, I feel like, both nights she kind of did the standard, here's my story at the burning up bed. And then one of the nights she got a little sillier and she did like the dog barking stuff. And that was fun. And then, the first night during Express Yourself, she gave a shout out to Monty Pittman. Uh-huh. And then, the second night she was very playful. She walked around with the crowd. And when she did that, she talked about what it was like. She was just playful. She said, what I like to drink? And somebody said a lemon drop. And she's like, no, that's not, yeah, I like that. And someone said champagne. She said, yeah, but not that. And somebody eventually said rosé champagne. And she was like, you get a t-shirt. So she was a lot of fun. I kept saying, yeah, she's about to go on Easter break. Like, she is out of here and going home to dye eggs. Like, she's about to get off work. She's in a great mood.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, not too much time off, though, because she's back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, I would love to know a little bit more of that world, like of just out the door and onto a private plane and then back. Like, when does she go to Atlanta? And just like, you know, does she not even get there till 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Or just watching that kind of stuff was interesting.
I think she's there already. I'm sure she is. I think so. Well, the dancers are, that's for sure. The dancers literally, I think they when they end a show and they're supposed to go to another city, they leave that night. Like, it's not like they go back to the hotel and rest. Like, they are gone that night. So I assume that's what she does too. I don't think she's going. I don't think she's going back to New York after Texas. I would be shocked if she did. If she left Texas, flew to New York, and then like the next day flew. I think she's literally like going from Texas to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it to be at home for one night, essentially, maybe.
But because I feel like obviously they're setting up the stage, and maybe there's, I don't know if they do rehearsal, you know, like to just test out, like other than sound check the day of the show. I wonder if there's like something that they run through who knows? I know I'm endlessly fascinated about that too.
Yeah. I love that. Just thinking about it. I walked around before the students saw the buses and the crew were all sitting outside having fun. And that was cool to think about that kind of life and how all that works.
Where are your seats in Atlanta?
I am on the side stage of the center catwalk. So where Bob throws a rosary. I decided to do that. Now I've already got one. So
you'll let someone else have it. You'll get another one and sell it on eBay.
Well, this one would say Atlanta. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm excited to be at that spot. And I'm going to stay put because it'll be like a straight on view of the stage. And I've had enough of the pit. That could be limiting too, you know?
Sure. Of course. And what will you be wearing to the show?
Oh, I have a Who's That Girl shirt because Nikki Finn for Life, right?
Oh, and, yes.
The
Atlanta shots with the three T's.
That's it. Yeah, that's what it says. So I was like, every time someone says the word Atlanta, I say, oh, the Atlanta shots with three T's. And it's another one of those, like, I don't think anybody in the world will get it, but that, I think it's
no,
hilarious.
I love that. It's so funny. It.
Yeah.
My name's Nikki Sue Trot, the Atlanta Trot, yes. The three T's. No, my, it's I'm one like, of my, was, I, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Oh, good. Yeah. It was like primo acting. Like that, that was Madonna doing accent work. I mean, come on.
We've said it before. I wish she would have done that accent the whole movie. Like that would have been this, if she was like, you know, like just Southern Nikki Sue Trot, like that would have been hysterical. Yeah. Well, make sure you take pictures of that because I want to see that. That'll be fun.
We will see if anybody else gets it, other than me and you. And the whole
I'm sure people will get it. Yeah, come on, it's Madonna fans. They're gonna get it. Well, Greg, thanks so much for taking the time to talk. I'm glad we were finally able to get you on the show after 6 years of of you being a listener. But before you go, as you know, we do a little segment we like to call the Lightning Round. Insert thunderclap here. Yeah, we're low rent on the lives. We added in post later. These good. Answers are meant to be quick off the top of your head, wherever you're at in your Madonna journey. Don't think too hard. Favorite Madonna song?
My favorite Madonna song is "Where's the Party." I just love the kind of little old school. Even when I was a kid, I just loved it. It sounded like I want to go there. I want to do that. I want to party. So yeah, I love that.
It's a very "Where's the Party" is one of those songs where I feel like, if Madonna like stopped making music after the 80s, that song would be huge still. You know, like people would play that all the time. But I feel like because Madonna came out with like so many power hits after that, people forget about "Where's the Party." It's like "Where's the Party" and "Angel" are two of her songs that should be huge and are not, because she has such other banner hits like "A Prayer," "Express Yourself," "Music." You know, like all of those, "Vogue," you know, like "Ray of Light," like all of those hits are sort of like people forget about those. And I would also like a kick-ass remix of "Where's the Party." Like I want someone remix "Where's the Party" today, you know?
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah.
Like I need that on my gym playlist ASAP. Favorite Madonna album?
I would say "Like a Prayer."
It's a good one. Favorite Madonna remix?
Well, the "Like a Prayer" remix from "Sticky and Sweet." It's got the
feels like,
yeah, it's almost like that's the chorus. And that was my first Madonna concert too. And so that was one of the, and when during that time you didn't have a lot of access to music, so I always was like, oh, I want to hear it. And when it finally came out, I was excited. I'm excited that you can still hear that.
It's so good. Favorite Madonna music video?
"Express Yourself."
Some good men.
It's pretty. Men. it's kind of sexy, and I love the androgyny, and I love in the whole move. And so, yeah, definitely.
Her crotch grab is iconic. Like that's iconic. I'm Madonna.
Definitely like bad, controversial, on the edge Madonna.
Yeah,
I've realized that.
Favorite Madonna tour.
I'm going to be a Celebration guy. I really,
oh, nice.
Thought, you know, nothing would ever top Blonde Ambition, but it's just, it's Celebration.
Yeah. Favorite Madonna movie?
Who's That Girl? I like joking with it, but I'm also a dad. And that was one of the movies that when my kids were 5 or 6, I would stick it on but they would always go back to it. And I think it's kooky and zany enough. And so it's sweet to me too. So
yeah. It is. It's a very safe Madonna movie, you know, like,
yeah. And they like that she's silly. And sometimes they'll do tricks. And so,
sweet to me. Favorite Madonna look. And this can be from a music video, a tour, a photo shoot.
Oh yeah. I've been wanting, I don't know what to call it, but it's the, it is, for me, she was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and it's kind of sepia. And sometimes she has on those jeweled bikini, like a circus.
Oh, that's, I think that's the,
is it Steven Meisel or?
I want to say, no, with her dark hair or blonde hair?
It's blonde hair. And okay. It's just perfect curls, and it's kind of the profile, and yes. It's sepia toned. I should have. I call it the Entertainment Weekly cover.
I'm trying to think. I think that was the Truth or Dare promo photo shoot. I think that's the shoot you're thinking.
For sure, during that era, yes.
Send me the picture just to confirm, but I'm pretty sure that okay. Bejeweled outfit is from when she was doing the Truth or Dare promo, like she did a photo shoot. I think I'm pretty sure that's the one I'm thinking.
And it's just, it's not even the outfit. It's just her hair and her face. It was just so beautiful and classic. And in my mind, that's just where I always go back to when I think of Madonna.
Yeah, that's quintessential Madonna too. Like 90s Madonna is such banner Madonna for me. So, well, Greg, tell everyone where they can follow you if they want to follow you on Instagram, if you want followers on Instagram.
Well, it's Greggy Graham. You're more than welcome to follow me, but there's no reason to, but sure.
Hey, Greggy, you've got Graham, lots of beautiful photos of Madonna that you're posting, so.
I am doing that.
It'll make up for all of those friends who left you.
Yeah. Sorry, you missed my Madonna content.
Exactly.
This is going to last for 3 days. And
through them. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll go back to Easter pictures.
Yes. Family. Well, remember, everybody, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at MLVC Podcast if you'd like to support the show. We're on Venmo at MLVC Podcast, or you can smash that super thanks button on YouTube and send a donation that way. If you've not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, tick that subscribe button so you never miss a video. Going live for the remainder of the celebration tour. Not many shows left, people. So counting down to Rio. But otherwise, enjoy the rest of your weekend, everyone. We'll be back again later this week with a Atlanta review with another listener. So we'll see you then. Until next time, Greg, stay where you're at. We'll chat real quick afterwards. But until next time, everybody.